show. Just make this the show. I don't even feel like thinking.
Interesting part of picking on Mike about how old he is that you're the only one that sounds like the old man. Let's get the show on the road. Are you recording yet?
He is definitely the old guy. Hey, and welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
At DFF underscore Madman. Welcome, everybody.
And Shane Manila.
Oh, holy shit. Everyone trade away Nick Chubb. Now.
No. Yeah, today. No.
Just do it.
Today was very crazy. But wait. We have somebody else sitting here with us. We have the host of the Dynasty Warzone podcast at DFF Memphis, Randy Young.
The Outlaw.
What's the Outlaw, right? You gotta say it right.
I'm going back to my legal name. Just Memphis. Outlaw sounds way too formal. Just
yeah. Memphis. It's funny, too. I almost said underscore because those other two guys have underscore. That's why I paused there for a second.
I can't afford the underscore. I looked into it. It's pricier than you think. So, right. I am sans underscore.
Well, thanks for joining us, Randy. And yes, what Shane said is true. Everybody was freaking out today, one way or the other. What's really funny is if you watch Twitter and you saw what people were saying, everybody was like, oh my God, dump him. And then there was this wave that switched that everybody's like, grab him. And it was just crazy all day.
Well, so I had a couple Nick Chubb trades that I saw online.
Yeah.
Or Twitter, because I'm not 115. So here's one offer. And this isn't, did he even tag us on this? He did, so I'll give him a shout out. It's a Burner 3 Dynasty.
Uh-huh.
So the one trade, Tevin Coleman in the 106 for Nick Chubb.
Tevin Coleman in the 106 for Nick Chubb. Uh-huh. Okay.
And that was 84% on the Chubb side.
Yeah, I would have took the Chubb side, definitely.
Yep. Sure. And then the next trade offer, dun-dun-dun, it was Tevin, the 106, and a 2020 first for Nicholas Chubb.
Wait, is that the same guy? Because it's the Tevin and the 106. And
very same guy.
Oh, okay. Then he
said
added...
revisiting counter.
Oh, okay.
He upped the offer a tad. And by a tad, I mean a lot to a 2020 first.
It is funny. Shut up. You even wrote something in the group text that we had today where you were talking about trades that involved 2021 picks for Chubb.
Can you just focus on this trade at hand? So how you think this turned
out? Well, we all think the same thing, that it would still be the Chubb side.
Ooh, well, guess what?
So that would
you would be actually incorrect. Right now, it just has 86 votes. It's the Tevin Coleman in the first side is winning 51-49%.
Wrong.
But it's still early.
Yeah.
There's 20 hours left to vote. So remember, kids, vote.
I agree with Jeremy. Wrong. What do you think, Randy?
I don't care.
What do you think, Randy? What do you think as our guest here? What do you think?
I'm not getting rid of Nick Chubb. No. I mean, Hunt's going to be suspended 6 to 10 games. It might kind of poop on your fantasy playoffs next year if Hunt's in the mix, but I don't hate it. I mean, he's only got like on a 1-year deal. I was talking with Jake Anderson, and we were talking about this could have just been like a strategy move. What if they heard rumbling? The Browns have playoff aspirations. They finished 7-8-1 last year. There's no reason why they couldn't be a wild card team or, hell, even win that division. And if they heard rumors, and for a team with almost $80 million in cap space, $1 million 1-year deal is nothing if you keep him out of the hands of your competition. You know, if they heard Houston was going to sign him, if they heard, you know, any of those other teams in the AFC that might get in their way of making that final playoff spot, what the hell? So I'm hanging on to Nick Chubb. It's a 1-year deal. He'll be a restricted free agent. And here's the smart administrative move. If they lose him in 2020, they'll get some sort of a compensatory pick for doing it. They basically bought a pick for $1 million.
You laid out the best case scenario where he just comes along, steals some carries, you know, towards the end of the season, fucks you in the playoffs as a Nick Chubb owner, and then he goes away. So worst case scenario. Yeah, that's
right.
The worst case scenario is he gets a 2-game suspension because the league is so happy with all the alcohol management training he's gone to and the anger management counseling and whatever charity bullshit he does for PR. And he misses two games. And then Nick Chubb is never used in the passing game. And the Browns go 12-4, make the playoffs, and go, you know what? This is a hell of a 1-2 punch. We're going to tender him for next year, or we're going to re-sign him. And he's going to be so thankful to the Browns because they gave him that second chance. He's even going to give him a hometown discount because it's his real hometown. And he signs for 5 years and, you know, $40 million.
And if I'm Zeke Elliott, I'm suing the NFL's ass off. Because
It's two different. There's two different issues, though. Zeke's was a domestic violence. This was just beating a woman up. but it wasn't domestic violence because they were not in a relationship.
Yeah, the just part is what sounds weird.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean just. I mean he beat up a woman, which is not cool.
Well, let me say something. And this is what you see all over Twitter. You hear it on radio. You see it on NFL Network. Where Randy had one point of view, you had one point of view. There's so many different things being said on Twitter and everything. Nobody really knows what is going to happen. So for us as Dynasty people, the only thing we have to look at, I know people aren't happy about that, but we care more about the fantasy part than the real football part. So in fantasy wise, does it screw Chubb? Does it screw Hunt? Does it screw Duke Johnson? I mean, who?
Duke Johnson's dead. Duke Johnson is. I think they had a memorial service for him at whatever Cleveland Brown Stadium is. I don't even know. I'll just call it the Dog Pound. I think that's the official name. They actually had a memorial service for him.
No, they didn't.
Well, you know what's funny is John Dorsey, he had a press conference today, and he even said this doesn't make Duke Johnson expendable yet.
Oh, he said yet.
It doesn't, but we know it does. He was already expendable. He wasn't even playing football practically last year. I mean, they didn't use him. We know in fantasy we struggled with him if you had him on your team because they didn't use him. You think that Chubb and Hunt probably could share the field and both be fantasy assets and, you know, fantasy relevant for us, but everybody's worried about one or the other. I don't think Hunt's going to take Chubb's job. That's for damn sure. But if I'm the Hunt owner and not if I'm the Chubb owner.
As a Browns fan, I mean, that's your team. What do you think is going to happen with these guys?
I don't know what's going to happen with them. And honestly, it's too early to think about it. Like all these guys moving players, you know, what I would do is just, if I wanted one of those players, seek out those leagues where guys are being fearful because Rapoport and Schefter sent some news out today. And, oh, my God, let's trade some players. Get in there and trade like Shane did already. Get in and trade either away these guys or for these guys. I think it presents a buy opportunity until, you know, it creates a buy opportunity for both guys, but it depends on the league because then, you know, supply and demand, right? In some places, everybody's after Chubb, and then so the demand is higher. You just have to be smart about it. But I'm not scared, is what I'm saying. We don't know what's going to. You summed it up. We don't know what's going to happen with these guys. Everybody's just thinking out loud, and it's early yet. The thing is, maybe they did just sign Hunt so they can trade him away, and it affects Chubb not in the least. You know, 10 games down the line, he's still the starter, right? And for the foreseeable future. So I would definitely hang on to Chubb in the short term, unless you're selling him really high. There's no reason to get rid of a guy who is like the best running back, in my opinion, last season.
Trade alert.
You traded him?
Right now?
Not this second. so, so you know me. I am not the type of dude that's like, I'm going to, you know, just see how this plays out and see what happens.
You ride the wave like a surfer.
Because I'm a fucking panic seller. So just if anyone's in a league with me, I think they know that. But if they don't, that's how you do it. Just if something bad happens, you can immediately reach out to me because I'm selling.
Yeah, and we have some trades later to talk about. But go ahead. What happened now?
So here's the trade. Where is it? Son of a bitch.
I could probably quote it. You traded Nick Chubb.
Oh, here you go. So I actually traded Nicholas Chubb. And a 2021 third round pick for 2019 101 and a 2021 round two.
All right. So you gave away Chubb and whatever that other pick was, and you got the 1.01 and a next year second or two year second.
2 years. 2 years. I mean, next year, if you go by leap years, because that's how leap years work, right? Skip a year.
You're going to have grandkids by the time you cash that pick in.
Oh my God! Can you imagine Shane with grandkids? I don't know. At this point, we have been riding a wave the last couple of weeks where we've been on your side, Shane. But at this point, I kind of like the other side better.
Yeah, well, I expect that anyway. Look at
we were agreeing with you for a couple of weeks.
We were. Yeah. What'd you say, Randy? What do you think?
I'm in this league with Shane, and I wish I could have got it. I don't think I could have offered quite to the level of the 101 unless Shane wants to pair Sony Michel with Derrick Henry. But I don't think I would have had the draft capital, at least at this point, to have gotten Chubb from him. But I don't think it's a horrible trade. Yeah. I mean,
the 101's a valuable piece, right, Randy? I mean, that's leverage and a half for Shane right now. That's some serious leverage.
Well, if Josh Jacobs were to land in Tampa Bay, because I think, in my personal opinion, Tampa Bay is the best position for a three-down back currently open. I mean, we'll see what free agency brings. But if Josh Jacobs was to land in that spot, he becomes the de facto number one overall.
Well, he's got
to
beat out Ronald Jones. I'm just kidding. I'm playing, man. Come on.
No, but I agree with you, Randy. Yeah.
I'm totally agreeing with you, too.
And then at that point, Shane will be able to command his price for the 101, and then he could, you know, maybe package the 101 in something else. And
get Nick Chubb.
He's gonna have to be patient, though. He can't hold on to that 101.
That's what they call a Nigerian buyback.
Well, yeah,
that's where you sell something. Exactly. 2 weeks later, buy it back at a markup.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to hold on to that 101 because there's so much that's gonna go on, and we'll get into the next piece of news that kind of affects the 101. Kyler Murray, is that his name? That's his name, right? Kyler Murray.
Yeah, but that's not going to really affect the 101. Do you really think that's going to affect the 101? No.
Well, there's a good chance he could be the first quarterback off the board.
Right.
It's a super flex league. How would that not affect the 101?
You think he's going to go 101? Even in a super flex league, is he better than some of the other
Okay.
I love your face. The face you just made.
I know. The incredulous look on his face. Like are you talking to me right now?
Yeah, like what I'm saying is totally outrageous.
Well, no, because it is. But also, say Kyler Murray ends up in, you know, the landing spot of all landing spots, which is the Giants, where you have Odell Beckham, Evan Ingram, Sterling Shepard,
the
Quantum God. You know what I mean? Say he ends up there. Well, guess what? He's the 101. I'm sorry, in a super flex. And I don't even particularly need a quarterback, which is kind of what will suck about it. And then I'll probably end up trading back. You know, if Haskins lands there, then fine. He's the 101. But Kyler Murray's, you know, assuming he doesn't go to the combine and measuring at 5'5", I would say he's going to be the number one in a super flex.
Well, as excited as people get about these draft picks, especially the 101, I know we don't have Saquon Barkley this year, but just wait. I'm just telling you, my only advice is hold on to that damn pick for a while. Don't trade it away anytime soon. Wait till fever pitch reaches its, you know, highest volume before you do something with it, and wait for situations like that at the draft. But yeah, you have you're in the catbird seat. You have all the leverage with that pick. So I mean, at least you got the 101 by trading Chubb away, or I would have yelled at you.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a huge asset for you to have. Yeah,
and you know, I made the trade with Dynasty Happy Hour, which is really Tyler Gunthanerners, Tyler Gunthanens, and Gunthans, the Gunthanmeisters. And at first he was like, hey, I'll send you the 108. And he DM'd me and I was like, I hate you. and then it was the 102. And then he was like, all right, well, how about the 101?
He had the 101, the 102, and the 108?
Yeah. He had.
It would be nice to have this kind of job security. I'd love to have all those first round picks, man.
So for the 101, you know, I felt like, all right, that's something that – I'm not happy with the trade, but it's good enough.
You know what? I will say this. You're right. This is only February, and my initial reaction was that I'd rather have Chubb. But the more you think about it, if you're talking about trade value and what you could get for the 101, that thing is just going to get more and more and more and more valuable by the time April comes around. So
the only problem with that, though, is this is a league full of sharps. So it's not no one's going to get a fucking Chubby. just for the 101. Oh wait, you might get a job for a 101. Yeah. But you know what I mean? It's like all fellow podcasters. So first of all, everyone's afraid to make a bad trade. and end up on Fantasy Mansion's fucking podcast getting blasted, or you know what I mean, like slightly getting made fun of on another podcast. Because you know, if I would have pulled off like a heist or something, I'd be right on here. Like, yeah, I robbed Tyler Gunther and his stupid Minnesota ass. I love you, Tyler.
I've made a few trades in this league. I didn't know Fantasy Mansion did that.
No, but I'm just saying, like, you know, there's 12 podcasts that at any point your name could come across like, hey, this guy made a shitty trade.
I always names of the guilty. I've talked about one of the trades I made in that league on some podcasts, but I always protect the names of the guilty, including my own.
You're in that league too?
I picked up an orphan. Did you get an orphan in that league, Shane?
I did, and it was actually in season.
Jeremy, yeah, Jeremy, this was that league that we had no idea about, and Shane said to us, hey, we're in a podcast league. We're like, we are?
Speaking of, by the way, the other one we were in folded.
So. Okay, good. Thanks for letting us know.
Guys. I'm sad about that. Was our team good?
No, it had a rough year, but I think it had the 101, too. It was salary cap league. It just had some issues. But no, I mean, like, I like this league. It's a lot of smart dudes, so, you know. I'm sure no one wants to end up on someone else's podcast getting blasted, but you know me, I don't give a fuck. You say what you want about me as long as you say my name. Oh, wait, I've heard that before.
Yeah, exactly.
A trade that I made in that league.
Do what?
We made a trade?
Yeah. I traded you Amari Cooper, your man crush.
Oh, you did.
I traded you Amari Cooper for Robbie Anderson, 3 seconds and a 2021st.
That was a win for me.
Wait, say that again. Say it again.
He got Amari Cooper. I got I think it was the 203, the 205, and the 211, and a 2021st for Amari Cooper.
Okay. So you got a bunch of twos. So,
real quick, Randy, when you do these, you got to go really slow for pop-up. Because you go too fast. Like,
I'm ready for bed, so you better go slow for me.
I thought that was a fruit basket. Apparently, it's one of those old-fashioned horns you put to your ear to hear.
Oh, my God. I'm not that old.
He's breaking out the abacus now. Like, wait, what?
Well, you know, it's funny. Shane and I also did a trade. But listen, before we talk about that, why don't we hear from gtbets.eu first, and then we'll go on with some of these other trades.
Are you looking for some action on today's games? Then head over to gtbets.eu for all your sports betting needs. Get up-to-date odds covering all major sports. gtbets.eu is easy to use. Their simple registration process will have you placing your first bet in minutes. And if you register today, you can earn up to $500 of free money. Now that's a great reason to head over to gtbets.eu, an official sponsor of the Dynasty Football Factory. Simply add Dynasty Trades HQ in the referred by field to earn a 100% welcome bonus. GTBets.eu, it's game time.
All right. So, I mean, what can you gamble on right now? There's still basketball, hockey, if you want to gamble on that. Baseball soon. I'd go ahead and put my money down on the Phillies to win the World Series. After they just went and traded for JT Realmuto, or however you say his name, that's fun. Or the Sixers, you know, put the money on the Sixers to win the NBA championship after they just traded for Tobias Harris. Just, what I'm saying is Philly is awesome.
And there's a lot of things that you can bet on. You know what is really funny? You know, last week, out of nowhere on Thursday, it seemed like all of a sudden the entire Twitter universe, Dynasty community, everything, everybody realized that there was a new football league starting this weekend. And like everybody jumped into making fantasy leagues for the Alliance of American Football
at the last minute.
I know Shane, you were in one. Jeremy and I were in one together. Randy, did you do any AAF leagues?
Nope. Kyle from the FFL has invited me to one, and I respectfully passed. I said, thank you, but no thank you.
Kyle's in the one with me and Jeremy, with the one we did.
No, I wasn't invited to that one, so hey, Kyle.
No, actually, Larry Monkey from our listener league and our Patreons.
Yeah.
I
ignored that one.
At that point, I was thumbing my nose at this, like, I'm not doing this bullshit. And then someone added me to a DM thread, and they're like, Shane, recruit people. And I was like, okay.
Hey, we heard about that. Rumor had it you guys didn't even finish your draft before the game started.
The draft is still going on. There's a, I don't know if anybody knows Ron McLeese, good guy, yes. Dynasty.
Mad Dog FF.
Yeah, he does a couple great pods. I can't remember it off the top of my head. I'm sorry, Ron. But Ron's a great guy, really good podcaster, terrible drafter, though. He he's that guy that disappears for like 9 hours at a time. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I was tucking my kids in. And you're like, what the f***? You have to fly to Georgia? I don't understand. So, no, we didn't finish on time, but we're still picking players. But you know what? I just picked up the leading receiver from week one in round 9.
Oh, because
I don't even remember his name. I drafted him 15 minutes ago.
That was the best part of all of this. Everybody went crazy. Everybody's drafted teams, but then everybody was posting their draft boards. And every single league you looked at, different players were in everybody's first round. The 1.01 was different for each league. It was crazy.
Nobody had any idea which guys to bank on. It was just like a crapshoot.
And
you just took guys you knew their names and liked, and like, oh, I remember this guy in college. I'm going to draft him.
And, you know, the problem with that was because I, you know, I did jump on to do a little research. I hit up Pro Football Focus because they had a good little write up on it.
They did,
and they actually had a big board. But they're pointing out like, hey, don't draft Shoestring just because you remember his name, Denard Robinson,
right?
Because he's not starting. Or don't draft this guy just because he's on the roster. He's not actually in the city. You're like, wait, what?
Yeah, I drafted.
That's enough of that though, because who cares about the AAF?
Well, because it was fun.
Kyler Murray
a little bit.
What?
Kyler Murray declared for the draft. Oh, no, that's not true. So Kyler Murray actually tweeted out today that he's 100% focusing on football, and he will be repaying the Oakland A's $1.2 million and not receiving the other bonus that he was due to receive in March. So he's a football player, baby.
Well, let me ask you something, and Randy, as the guest, let's see what you say. You had said that if you thought that Josh Jacobs went to Tampa, he would be the 1.01. Shane says that if Kyler Murray gets drafted by the Giants, he's the 1.01. Do you agree with that, or are you as excited about it as Shane is?
I'm not. I mean, I would put him probably closer to the 105, 106. I mean, that's a great
super flex.
In a super flex, yeah. I would still rather have Jacobs. At this point, in a super flex, unless it's like some kind of a startup, I've got two QBs and I wouldn't necessarily need a third. So I would rather have Jacobs, or I could, you know, trade back. I could trade someone because someone else is going to want Jacobs. They're not as savvy as, you know, like a guy like Shane. And maybe I could trade back and still get Murray plus something. So, no, I don't think he's the 101. I don't think his heart's all the way in it. I mean,
dude, he just gave up a bonus.
Yeah, he said that, though. That's what he said. Yeah. I don't buy it either.
The fact that
he's paying them back. He's paying them back $1.2 million. Agree,
yeah. But maybe Randy's right, because the fact that he has to tell people that. He shouldn't have to tell everybody.
Well, actually, he does, so that NFL coaches and GMs know that that's where his heart lies, and they don't draft him in the fourth round, and they draft him in the first.
Exactly.
But if everybody already knew that, he wouldn't have to say.
If I knew how to edit, I swear to God.
If I knew how to edit.
Oh, listen, hey, I edited it to make you sound like a star, Shane, so don't worry about it. What'd you say, Randy?
I say last year's class, as good as that quarterback class was, I think Baker's consensus, I think he was the 101 in most leagues last, the 101 from a quarterback perspective. Let me rephrase that. So you had Saquon Barkley, but in most of my Superflex rookie drafts, Geis was still going too. And some combination of Penny or Chubb, or not, well, I hate to admit it, but there were people who were taking Penny that high. But Geis and Chubb and Penny, and a lot of those running backs were still going like 1 through 4. And I think Baker was around the 103 to 105. So if you're going to take Baker there, then where, I mean, you're going to take Kyler Murray at least that later, I would think.
I mean, they're the only issue with
Murray is that Pauly measures. Last year, the issue was that there were so many quarterbacks in that class. I think they kind of what's the word I want to use? But they kind of like cancel each other out. Oh, I'll just wait to pick up a quarterback. Yeah. There's fucking 6 of them. This year, there's 2. So I think they are going to go higher, like Shane's alluding to. Whether Kyler Murray can be number 1 overall or not, it remains to be seen. I think Randy's got a point there. I mean, but still, say he's a top 3 guy, because there's really only 2, 3, maybe 4 quarterbacks that we give a shit about, depending on who you talk to. Maybe, let's just say 2 first round types in this class, maybe 3. Then there's not, that's half of last year's class.
It's funny, too, if you think about it, when you go to the listener league that we created, that's a 16-team Superflex league, then obviously in that league, he would be the 1.01. You know, I can see that. But in a regular 12-team, even if it is Superflex league, I would be more on Randy's side that if Josh Jacobs landed in a really good spot, I'd rather have him than to grab the rookie quarterback. Because even if he's in the Giants, he's not going to play this year. He's going to sit behind Eli for another year. So right. if you're not going to use him this year anyway, then next year, supposedly, these are better quarterbacks coming out anyway. So you grab one of them next year.
And that's why guys draft running backs at the top like that, because if they're in a situation, especially like in Tampa, they are those running backs are playing right now.
And Jeremy, maybe. I don't mean to laugh over you, but Shane is sitting there going, making all these faces on camera.
I'm only seeing you. That's funny. I
did no such thing.
It's because we're all correct and he's wrong. So.
Whatever, look, I'm a trailblazer. I'm not afraid to put my dick out there and wiggle it out in the air and let it be seen. And if it happens that I actually just show my ass instead, that's fine too.
You just gave me three reasons not to hike the trail. Never going down that trail that you're blazing.
Shadow, how many more weeks of winter do we get?
So real quick, I want to jump back on the Nick Chubb thing real quick because I thought this was interesting. So someone asked, it's at Real Rhinos. He tagged us. So good. I'll mention his name at Real Rhinos. Which running back do you want in PPR dynasty, Nicholas Chubb or Kerryonish Johnson? And this is post trade, obviously.
Was that straight up carry on for?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, just straight up.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Now, see, there's a lot of folks that I think, or maybe not a lot, but a decent amount that would have preferred carry on straight up anyway, prior to today.
Oh, man, I like Chubb, but that's tough. I'd have to analyze that one a little bit. But off the top of my head, I like Chubb, and I have high expectations for carry on going forward. It's just tough to steer away from a generational talent like Nick Chubb. Everybody's a generational talent.
No, I think it's just Saquon Barkley, but yeah.
No, I think Chubb's up there too, man. To run at that speed, to run as like he does at his size, I mean, it's not many guys can do that.
He's a freak of nature. I don't think he's generational talent.
Well, pre-ACL, I think he was. But
I think before today, it would have been Chubb pretty easily. I think after the Hunt news, that's what's given me pause.
Yeah, you know, Kareem Hunt finished as a running back one last year still in PPR. We brought that up on the show, but even after missing, what was it, five games, he was still finished as a running back one ahead of Philip Lindsay.
Insane. Wow.
I had images of him in Eagles midnight green, and I'm f***ing annoyed from a fantasy perspective as an Eagles fan, just everything.
So happy you're annoyed.
Yeah. He would have been the perfect three down back, but whatever, you know, there's a bunch of teams that should have signed him and didn't for whatever reason. Anyway, but so 54% of the populace took Nicholas Chubb over Kerryon there.
Shane, let me ask you a question, because what you just said about the Eagles, there was that report bouncing around last week about that Foles may get traded over to Jacksonville for Fournette and everything like that. What do you think? Your face.
Well,
would you want
his face?
Well, just before we get that, know that that can't happen, because actually, if the Eagles tag him with the intentions of trading him, apparently that violates the spirit of the CBA. Because if you tag someone, you're supposed to do it with the intention of rostering that player, not to trade him. So it looks like the Eagles are just going to get a comp pick for him. But in that circumstance, if you were able to do it, goddamn straight, I would take Leonard Fournette on the Eagles team. The Eagles offensive line is probably the most underrated offensive line year over year. It's not this flash in the pan like Jacksonville was really good 2 years ago and they had a bunch of injuries and then they sucked last year. The Eagles have injuries every year and their line is still very good.
Jeremy's putting Randy his finger back up. Jeremy, what?
We have to get Randy back in because I cut him off when he was talking about your question, answering your question about Kerryon and Chubb. I never gave him a chance to finish. I just realized that. Sorry, man. Shane gets me all fired up.
Just talking about the carry-on thing, it was just as simple as, you know, I don't think it's as clear-cut as it would have been 24 hours ago. But I'm not doing with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. I mean, we'll just kind of, I guess, circle back to that. Is I'm not doing anything with either one of them right now unless I'm buying cheap. I'm not selling. I'm holding, because you're going to wind up, you know, you're. But yeah, that's where. But yeah, carry on. I mean, he's getting a lot of love. But didn't he finish last season on the IR? He missed like what, 5 or 6
years?
And then
he did
shoulder issues back in college.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to call him injury prone, but it seems to be piling up, and that's not a very good offense. I remember, like, the stat was last year that 9 of the top 12 RB1s finished on winning teams or playoff teams. And I just see that Cleveland offense being a lot better for the next few years than that Detroit. Oh, yeah. So that would make me lean Chubb. I think he's still going to be the goal line guy.
Yeah.
I like him quite a bit. So
that was like what you said. I agree.
Well, and just to Randy's point, yeah, you shouldn't, don't do what I do. I sell. As soon as there's bad news, I'm like, oh, holy shit, the sky is falling. It's literally falling on me. I have to do something at this goddamn moment. And I even said this in that league chat that, you know, I'm a panic seller. You know, we all have our weaknesses. It's, you know, you got to recognize that I'm a panic seller. Something goes wrong, I immediately act, and then I'll feel like shit the next day when I look at my roster and I'm like, son of a nut.
And, you know, I do commend you for that, though. It's cool that you're able to just go ahead and, you know what, commit to something and do it, and you don't overanalyze it like some people do. You go for it, man.
Here's my only thing. I hate confusion. I think I've mentioned that before. So anytime the situation isn't clear cut to me, I don't want to be involved with that situation as best as I can.
Yeah. And for me, you know, we've talked about it a bunch of times about that whole knucklehead, or the way that people do some things wrong off the field, so it can end up on the field being a problem. However, you and I did talk about last week, we talked about a trade that we tried to do. Actually, a couple weeks now we've talked about this trade with Antonio Brown, and you trying to trade away Antonio Brown. And
Trade alert.
We did a trade within five minutes after the show last week. We had talked about the trade and everything like that, and you and I did a trade finally. The only reason I was going to say it now is because of what you just said about you panicking. Not necessarily panicking, but you also have this ability where once you decide you want to move somebody, you keep going and going and going until you get it done. And whether...
They're dead to me.
What?
They're dead to me.
Exactly. So for us, it ended up working out because a couple weeks ago, you made fun of the counters that I sent you. And then the trade that we finally did last weekend was actually worse than the counters I had sent you the other day. So,
So you really gave up on Antonio Brown. Well, that's all I know.
So, you know, the domestic violent. Okay, let me get domestic incident.
Correct. Yes.
Occurred. And it wasn't domestic violence. You read the police report. Basically, he shoved her out of his doorway, because the woman wouldn't let him close his door. So the cops even noted, like, well, that's not really domestic violence. He, you know, moved you because you wouldn't get the fuck out of his doorway.
Plus, but can you sign this for me, AB?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
It was one of his children's mothers. Which is a whole other level because it's a multiple children's mothers. But and then he dyed his beard blonde. That freaked me out.
We've spent a couple weeks talking about it. And hey, listen, last week on the Patreon show, we did a whole thing about it. And Shane, you want to tell everybody about our Patreon account?
Yeah, Randy, don't get too excited. This is like maybe the shittiest trade you'll ever hear.
But right wait, here. Shane, tell everybody about our Patreon account.
Oh, well, first of all, you need to go on to the Dynasty Trades HQ patron account, become a patron. We got a bunch of tiers on there. I haven't looked at them, but I'm sure they're good.
I'm crying every day on Patreon. Yeah.
So we got the GroupMe chat where all the patrons are on. Well, there's a couple guys missing. So if you're listening, get on the fucking GroupMe chat, guys. That shit is on fire.
right now.
Yeah, we got that. We got the whole extra podcast every week. We're dropping, you know, bonus episodes. You get the uncensored, unvarnished version of this show, and written content. So we made a trade that Jeremy hated.
Hey, one last thing, just with the Patreon account on the GroupMe, when you just said that, I just opened mine, and since 2:44, there's 100 messages on the GroupMe chat since 2:44 this afternoon.
Very light day.
But yes, we talked about it on the Patreon account about a trade, and that didn't happen, and then Shane and I did a trade when the show ended. So what the trade ended up to finally be was Shane traded me, Antonio Brown, and
me
and two 2020 fourth round picks, and I gave him Traquan Smith, the 107, and the 210.
Yes.
Jeremy's shaking his head, not even talking.
Were you drunk, Shane?
So here's the problem. What the hell? Jeremy said something about this. In our league, that's the fucking market for him. Yeah. Antonio Brown was offered to everyone except you, I think, in the league.
No matter what happens, there'll never be a trade between him and Jeremy. So that's funny.
No lie, there had been at least fucking 100 offers, either me sending or me turning down. That was the market for him. I was fine with getting out with him in that super flex. Hopefully, look, I gotta just hope that everybody goes QB crazy and just starts pounding those early and lets me grab someone I want to get at 107. I was kind of hoping I could flip Traquan Smith for a first or a future first. I haven't been so lucky just yet.
And the one thing I just want to say is 2 weeks ago on the show, you really tried to rail me over the coals or whatever the word is when I had sent you Traquan a one and two twos or no, a one, a two and a one in 2020. And you like ripped me how bad it was. So then we ended up doing this trade, but that's the cool thing about all of it. You're right. 2 weeks ago, that's not cool.
You owe me a first.
It's awesome. First. 2 weeks ago, that was your mindset and you're correct. After 2 weeks of trying to trade him and everybody shooting you down, you and I ended up coming up with a deal. And that's what I was talking about in the sense where you had this idea that you wanted to do it. You tried and tried and tried, and eventually you ended up finding somebody that would do something that would work for you and work for me. Whether Jeremy thinks it's a bad trade or not, whatever. I love it, and it's fine for me.
Well,
but
of course you love it, because why would you say anything bad about that trade?
But what I'm saying is Shane
got... You
don't
have a voice in this. You're biased.
Shane got to the point where that was what he was comfortable with. Randy has just been sitting there quietly. I see him writing stuff and everything. What do you think, Randy?
Send Shane offers now. I respect the fact that Shane said this is what I could get for him in this league.
Exactly.
A lot of times owners will look at Twitter polls and stuff like that. And, you know, I got a diamond ring and a brand new bathtub and 14 first round picks for Saquon Barkley. That's cool. That worked in your league. That doesn't make it his actual price on the market. So you have to know your league. And it appears that Shane wanted out. And I'm not a big Traquan Smith guy, and he has to nail that 107. But if it worked out for both of you and Shane's happy, and that's fine. That's what gets trades done. And that's, as a guy who loves to trade, in one league, I'm in the GOAT District leagues. I think I had 68 trades last year in this one league. And you know, they used to post all the trades on Twitter, which is fine. I said, just don't post the names because people get butthurt when they don't win a trade.
Yep.
It's not about winning a trade. It's about getting a deal done. I'll tell you a deal. So the league Shane was referencing earlier, I had made a deal with one owner, and on the first deal, he caved into what I wanted for a particular player. And on the next deal we were doing, I was trying to, you know, juice him for an extra, you know, third round pick. And he was like, man, that's just more than I want to pay. I said, you know what? Last time we did business together, you came over to my price. This time I'm going to make the deal with you. It's just doing business. And if you try to win every trade, you're not going to get any trades done, guys.
I agree with you.
Context matters for sure, dude. Context matters. This league is tough to trade in. I just expected Shane to get more for Antonio Brown, even given the context of this league that we're in. But, it's the best he could do.
I'll just send you some of the fucking offers I was getting. Like Demarcus Robinson was heavily included in a lot of them.
I keep getting an offer for him.
Yeah, and just you know, for our listeners, obviously I know the best play would have been just to hold on to him at this point, because it's been nothing but bad news. You know, and he'll rebound because he'll be in Pittsburgh in training camp, because they're not going to trade him, because they're not going to get value for him. Kind of like I didn't get the proper value for him. Difference is I don't have to pay, you know, $20 million to a traded guy. So I just moved on. We'll see what happens with that 1-7. I honestly hope I can just trade back to someone that has multiple firsts later in the round. Obviously not. Well, if they want to trade me earlier picks for the 1-7, great. But, you know, later in the first.
Right. Yeah. And even me bringing it up, it wasn't bringing it up to shit on Shane in any way. It was to prove, to show the point of what he was saying, where you get to a point where you have this idea in your head and this is what you want to do. And you go through the motions with everybody in the league. And if that's what ends up happening, that's the point that you get to. And Jeremy, what's really funny is when you say it's hard to trade in this league, I just pulled it up. I've done 16 trades in this league. And for me, I just like doing trades, and Shane loves doing trades too, so it ends up working out for people. And then for other people, sometimes it's a little bit more difficult to get something
some
done.
Of us didn't need to trade as much as others too. I mean, I'm not making a joke either.
No, I mean, I know
some teams drafted better and had better lineups and, you know, didn't need to make wholesale changes. So yeah, but that is a large number of trades in that 16 team league though. That's,
yeah, I
that's pretty incredible that you traded that many times. I think I made a few deals only.
Yeah, I didn't even know till just now. I just pulled it up. But yeah, but you're right, I had a hard time in that league, so I was happy with the trades that I'd done. But we also had another trade on here from...
we got two. We actually got two.
From Rick, from our guest from last week.
So, hashtag Jacob Rick Road. Damn it. Jacob Rick Road trade alert.
Woohoo! The ravishing Rick Road.
The ravishing Rick Road.
And what was the trade?
So, he is pretty funny. After, you know, we discussed Sammy Watkins on the show, we both got Chubbies for him. I made
you
a couple trades.
You traded for Chubb?
No. But I also traded for Watkins in two leagues. Samuel L. Watkins, as I call him.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes, motherfucker. No. So Jacob gave up Tyler Lockett and Mike Gesicki and got back Samuel Watkins.
Yeah, and you know, that got a lot of traction on Twitter. People were all talking about that trade and everything. Randy, I just saw your reaction there. What do you think about that?
Okay, one more time. I got a draft pick and Samuel L. Watkins.
Okay, so it was Samuel Watkins. Samuel L. Watkins for Tyler Lockett and Mike Gesicki.
Tied it in premium?
He didn't note that it was, so I'm going to assume no.
I do have faith in the very athletic Mr. Gesicki, but I'm going Lockett and Gesicki. I'm over Sammy Watkins. I mean, is he going to break out in year six? I know it's a great offense, and I know Patrick Mahomes is Jesus with a nice haircut, but I'm over Sammy. I was on the Sammy bandwagon a couple of years ago, and I've said this before about Sammy, but he's on his third team for a reason. Just like I'm very skeptical of anyone I meet going into their third marriage. In their mid-20s, I'm skeptical of any football player going on to their third team in their mid-20s.
Oh, wow.
Third marriage in the mid-20s. Holy crap.
Equally skeptical. So not that Sammy can't do it. It's just like, man, I know he's only like 25 or 26, but if he was going to do it, he probably would have done it by now. And there's still the foot issue. I know he played a little bit in the playoffs.
He played two games in the playoffs.
I know Tyler Lockett cannot keep up the ridiculous touchdown, you know, pace, but I think he's the wide receiver one in that offense unless they bring in.
Oh, he absolutely is.
I mean, we all love Doug Baldwin, but he's on the wrong side of 30. And not that 30 is a death sentence, but he's got injuries. And I'll take Tyler Lockett, even in a run-first offense, over a guy that I perceive to be the third or fourth man. I think
I like it.
I think he's behind Kelsey. I think he's probably behind one of the running backs, whoever that ends up.
And that matters, yeah.
So
he's too far down in the pecking order.
I'm not looking at the math, but I know for a fact he out-targeted Tyreek Hill in the second game, for whatever that's worth, the second playoff game. Now, that could have been the Patriots. Just
I read something about that, and it had something to do with how the Patriots were leaving him open. But then somebody said, well, somebody else corrected and said, hey, listen, the Patriots had one of their best DBs on Watkins. How could that be? But I think it was something with the way the Patriots played that allowed – you know, they cover the best players on the team. Yeah. But my point is, it goes beyond that. Sammy Watkins is great. If you put him on the Seahawks, the 32nd passing offense or whatever they are, and he's the wide receiver one, different story. But just like was laid out very clearly by Memphis there, he's like fourth or fifth. And you've said that a bunch of times too, Shane. That's how you soured on the guy, because he's just not high enough in the pecking order to get enough action. Tyler Lockett finished at, what, wide receiver 17, like a wide receiver two in a shitty passing offense that's like – that's pretty good. I might trade Watkins for Lockett straight up just based on the fact that he is like the wide receiver one. So getting Gesicki on top of that, I think that's a pretty good trade.
Yeah, and 64% of Twitter agreed with you two. And 36% went on the Watkins side.
And Seattle's not likely to bring in a lot of competition for Lockett because they've only got four draft picks. They've got the 21, the 85, 118, and the 149. And they've got bigger issues to address. They're more than likely going to lose Earl Thomas. They still need some offensive line help.
Yeah, offensive line, defense, oh, my God. Yeah.
You mean the same issues they had last year when they drafted a running back in the first round and then never played the guy?
Great work, boys.
We did have another trade here, a Silver Fox trade with Adam Thielen.
Oh, how you doing? So let's see what we got here. We got let me scroll down because we got a lot of trades. This was a heavy episode on trades. It's like it's weird. We got back to our roots.
It's because Randy's here
on this episode. Yeah, he helped us put our like, find down. A way. So we got a good old motherfucking. All right, so Silver Fox. He gave up Adam Thielen. Hook on to Thielen. Probably some reference to Arrested Development. Gave up Curtis Samuel, the 110, the 22, the 32, the 34, and a 2020 second.
Okay, so all the draft picks in the 2019 class for, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but, well, basically, yeah, 110, a 22, a 32, and a 34, and a 2020 second, and Curtis Samuel.
That's like my friend Greg says, that's like a meaty sack, but it's a hidden one, though. I mean, like, these are like twos and...
Well, there's a 110 in there. There's a 110.
Well, that is true. The 110 is in there, but...
And this is a single quarterback league.
Oh.
The plot thickens.
I don't know. It's kind of like one of those things where we're all kind of pausing and nobody's really jumping in there. I mean...
You know why? When you think about, oh, hey, let's throw in a bunch of players that might be good when I draft them for a guy who's a wide receiver one that I can plug in every week that's marginally better than about 95% of the other wide receivers. Still, and, you know, I realize he's getting up there in age, but he's not like 35 years old or something. I mean, was he 28 or something? Yeah, I mean, for the next few years, he could still be a wide receiver one, no problem. And you're taking a hell of a lot of risk with Curtis Samuel and all these picks, to give up a guy who gives you a little bit of an edge at one of your starting spots every week.
Absolutely.
Okay. Every week.
And it's
I don't like it.
It's funny, too, because we always say we don't talk about specifics because we don't have the specifics of this league. But it would really matter what your roster looks like, because if you were a win-now team, you'd want Thielen on your roster. If you're not, you'd want all those shots, you know?
If that's your only, like, aged veteran, you know, that you and your big chess piece that you can sell, you know, your number one asset, sell them.
Yeah.
And your other stuff. I get it.
What do you think, Randy?
I agree. I love how you guys are referencing the context. Context is king in these trades. So the more when you tag me at DFF Memphis or the show at Dynasty Warzone or these guys, please, 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 please mention Superflex, mention tight end premium, mention all that, because that's going to, you know, change my mind quite a bit. And I want to help you as best I can. That's my favorite thing to do with the podcast or helping out, you know, jumping on Twitter or whatever, but I can't do it without all the intangible. So please include that. But in this particular case, I would want Thielen because I always want the best player in a trade. But if I'm rebuilding, like if I inherited this team as an orphan and I'm trying to, you know, get some capital going, maybe the previous owner traded off all the picks. Yeah. I have no problem with this. So in a vacuum, obviously it's Thielen, but based on the roster, it could be the Samuel side.
Yeah, you know, it's funny is so I put this trade in a couple iterations in a couple different chats at the same time. And it was pretty funny just watching the different takes on it. Like the one room was clearly on the Curtis Samuel side, and the other side was like, "Wow, it's Thielen without a, you know, without even a thought."
Randy, right now, lots going to change, but right now, at this point in time, Jacobs is your rookie 101. I mean, there's too. It's too early. There's way too many things that are going to happen. But is that the player you like the best in this class?
He's the yes. My personal favorite's Kelvin Harmon.
Okay. Yeah. Wide receiver. Yeah.
You can nitpick all these guys. Like you said earlier, there's not a clear cut 101 like Saquon or Zeke a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But someone's going to have value, and that's what I'm looking because. Kelvin Harmon winds up as a Raven. He's not my 101. Kelvin Harmon winds up a Colt. He's my 101. So this class, more than any that I can remember in recent memory, is situationally dependent on where they land. There's a lot of talent at every position, but it's going to come down to that landing spot and a running back to the Chiefs, a running back to Tampa Bay, a wide receiver to the Colts, a wide receiver to any good quarterback. Is going to pique my interest. So, but yeah, as of right now, to answer your question, yeah, Jacobs is my 101.
You know, and
I like this class being. I'm sorry, Slaves. I just wanted to say I like this class being hard to figure out for a couple reasons, especially for the early drafts. You know, before the NFL draft in some of the leagues where you do your rookie draft, which is crazy, but you know, we do it. I actually like it because you can get your guys a lot easier, and it's not as clear cut, so it's interesting. There's a lot to still figure out and a lot to happen over the, you know, the combine and then the draft. So I find it exciting that things aren't as cut and dried as normally, because I love this whole game we play here. But I agree, man. I think you're narrowing it down pretty well.
And actually, at this point, you know, we're already, what is it, today's February 11th. You know, time really flies. We were talking last month that, oh, we got a long time. And, you know, before we know it, it'll be here. And right now, especially more than ever, the fact that there's so much variables and so many different things with looking at these people, something like the Scouting Academy would be an awesome thing for people to do, you know. So let's hear from our sponsors, the Scouting Academy.
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com.
Dropping bombs on them. Dropping bombs on them.
Oh, you got to leave the Shane rap in.
That's great.
So, you know, it's funny, though. You should definitely, one, you should look into taking the Scouting Academy and hitting the promo link on our site and saving yourself $50. But, you know, it's that time of year where people start yelling at each other about analytics versus tape.
What?
Oh, no way. Do people fight about that on Twitter?
A little bit. And,
I'm triggered now, man. I'm triggered. Yeah,
so, you know, I was just trying to pick some people's brains. Like I was picking Addison Hayes's, Amaze Hayes of FF Statistics, great site, great dude. And I was just trying to pick his brain, like, you know, just based off analytics last year, was Saquon Barkley the 101? Because from what I remember, I don't think he had the best dominator rating and things like that. But anyway, so the conversation got waylaid a little bit. And at one point, Matt Waldman was brought up, and then he was in the conversation. And we just went back and forth a little bit on something. And, you know, he brought up a good point is like, and something that I've always worried about with tape is, how do you know that the people that you trust as far as tape, even though what the fuck they're talking about half the time? Now, not all people, obviously.
No.
Now, like,
but say, still, like,
yeah,
the best like, guys like, make mistakes.
But there are guys, you know, like in the tape community, like, you know, just off the top of my head, like when they say something like, I'm like, all right, I think I can take that to the bank. So like, it's like say a Matt Waldman or a Nick Whalen or every one of the Debbie guys, LJ and Jason and Greg Brandt, and am I missing anyone from?
Travis May is another good one.
Travis May, and just all of the Debbie Watch guys who are the best in the business. You know, I can pretty much implicitly trust what they're telling me as far as tape-wise. Like, yeah, that's right.
You can trust what they're telling you is what they're seeing. Yeah.
There are so many people out there breaking down tape. Like, it's just hard for you to comprehend, I think, and this is what I said at one point. It's easy for me to look at analytics and go, okay, this guy had a 40% dominator rating. I know what that means as compared to someone else. It's hard for me when a guy's like, oh, well, this running back has, you know, a lack of vision or stiff hips. So it's just kind of hard to be like, well, what do you mean? Like, I don't understand that because I can't see that because I'm not someone that can watch.
I get it. Yeah.
I can watch tape, obviously, and see things and go, I think this is what's happening, and ask other people and be told that I'm completely wrong. But I just thought that was an interesting argument. I don't know where, and I don't think we've ever talked about it. Like, so where do you?
People need to use both. I mean, honestly, I use both. I rely on both. You have to have trusted sources. You can't just, you know, rely on everyone on Twitter and every fleeting thought that happens. I mean, you have to like trust in certain people so that you have some kind of at least a, you know, a median, some kind of a standard over time, and then come up with your own confidence ratings. I mean, I have something that I don't talk about on the show and I haven't told many people. It's not like it's a magic pill or anything, but I put a bunch of things together and then I come up with a confidence rating for players, a number basically. And it's almost like, you know, weighted shortest job first. If you manage projects, you're like, okay, well, which job should I do? Sometimes it's not as cut and dried as, oh, well, it's definitely this one. Sometimes you have to go through the motions to see that what you were thinking was the job you should do first that was the most valuable to your team and company. Turns out it's something else. And the same thing happens when you try to be a little more objective and organize that data. So find people that you trust that do data, that run tape. And then for me, my favorite thing at the end of doing all that is to make sure that if I haven't already, is watched a little bit of my own tape so that it's kind of like another checkbox that I can put next to each player as to whether I agree with what's being seen or not. And I, maybe people don't have time to do that, but that is the thing that has really helped me be very confident in the players on my list and not just be like, you know, I like both of these guys. I know because I liked one better because I saw him play. I don't know. That's me.
I agree, Madman. You know, I like a peanut butter sandwich, and I guess I've had a jelly sandwich.
Yeah.
But when you put them together, when you put peanut butter with jelly, you get an all-time classic. And I think that's what you have to do with tape and analytics. You know, but I keep my circle small, and I think Shane mentioned a lot of the great names. I like Waldman. I like Nick Whalen, Anthony Singletary, Travis May. Those are all guys that I would consider, like, you know, good breakers down of film. And then you got to have your analytics crew. And you mentioned Addy. Anthony Amico is a guy that references a lot of good. Yeah, so I keep it small, and then I listen to a lot of shows like this, and I'm not putting you guys over because I like you. Just, you guys are good at what you do. You know, any slapdick with a Twitter handle and a nice can create a really good handle and Twitter handle. But does that guy have a track record of success like Matt Waldman? Does that guy have a track record of success like Anthony Amico? And if he doesn't, it's cool to let him play devil's advocate sometimes. But at the end of the day, like Jeremy said, I do something similar. I take all the guys, and then I rank their tape. I rank their analytics. I rank their landing spot. And I break it down in kind of like a golf score. The guy with the lowest score wins. That ends up being my guy. I like everything about him. I like his tape. I like his metrics. I like his situation. Boom. There's my decision. And then mock your ass off. Get in as many mock drafts as you can, where you can. That way, when you're on the clock, you don't make a silly decision because you're on the clock.
Yeah, it's funny with the mocks. I mean, especially with DynastyFootballFactory.com, we just actually decided that we're bringing back our ADP and our mock drafts and all that kind of stuff. So they're totally revamping that situation there. And it is true. There are some people, everything you guys just said is really great, but there are some people that just don't have the time to do that. And if you don't have the time to do that, there's other resources where you could get that information, whether you're mocking, drafting, whether you're doing stuff with other people, or even with our site, you could go in and order the Debbie Watch. You know, if you buy the Debbie Watch, there is so much information in there that these guys put together for you so that you don't have to do all that stuff. And you will be able to get the information you need to be able to make your informed draft picks. And even right now with our website, I believe there's a deal if you pre-order the Devi watch right now, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you save a couple of bucks if you pre-order now. That's over at dynastyfootballfactory.com. Search Devi watch. Boom. Save you a couple bucks.
And that's coming out soon, right?
In a week, and it's going to be amazing. I've seen some of it only because I'm doing the final proofs of all the pages, and it's incredible. It's worth every penny, for sure. Not just a plug. It's good.
You've got a bootleg version laying around the house right now.
Yeah, rough draft.
I used last year for each of my Devi drafts. Like, I didn't even look anywhere else. And what's funny, though, is I DM'd them at one point going, hey, guys, because I was in their thread, who do I take at 101 in this? I'm looking for freshmen to take. And they go, look at the Devi guide, or the Devi watch. I was like, oh, yeah, let me go do that.
Yeah.
So that's what I did for the rest of my drafts. I just went down the list. If the guy, you know what I mean? Like, straight down. The guy's gone. Just jump to the next person.
It is pretty funny because I'm in a lot of those threads also because of helping with the network and everything. And it is funny when Shane just pops in, hey, by the way, can you guys give me a little hint? And then he gets some information. But yeah, listen, we've got some great stuff over there on the website right now. And the Devi watch is going to be a big deal for a lot of people. I know in the next, what do we got? 2.5 months, I think, till the draft, something like that. We have a bunch of more guests coming up. And then in April, I believe we're going to be doing some cross-reference thing with all the different podcasts, doing some mock drafts. We're going to have the Rookie Fever guys on the show to do a mock draft with them, maybe a two-part episode. I know, Memphis, you were talking about you wanted to do something throughout all the podcasts. So we got a lot of stuff coming up for you guys to get ready for your rookie drafts. A lot of people say this is one of those kind of rookie drafts where you don't know exactly what you want to do. So you want to get as much information as you can. And if you listen to all the shows and come check out the website, you'll get a lot of information from DynastyFootballFactory.com. So, Randy, thank you so much for coming on the show. Is there anything you want to tell everybody before we go?
No, I did like that you mentioned the Dynasty Football Network at DF_network. There's a ton of good podcasts. I mean, there's obviously the Trades HQ. There's the War Zone, but, you know, like you said, the Rookie Show, the Capology, the Devi, there's a ton of good shows. And with this class, if you are not hammering podcasts and reading articles, you're doing yourself a huge disservice, because you just can't show up on draft day with a sheet of paper and just be like, I'll just draft him, because you're going to get burned. So listen, mock, and hang out with us. Jerry and I, my co-host, at Jerry Sinclair. We drop every Wednesday. We've been on a great run of guests, and it's going to continue this week with Mr. Shane here and another surprise guest.
Shane's like, what?
Shane.
Yeah, it's that weird finger in the booty hole. You wasn't expecting it, but now we're here. Just go with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much what Shane is. Yeah.
Randy, that's got to be the best description we've ever heard of Shane. That's awesome. I totally forgot what I was gonna say now.
We were just wrapping up. I know. You know what we're gonna do next?
Wait. Yeah. Okay. I remember now. Well, thank you, Randy. That's awesome. Hey, listen, we're gonna do a Patreon show after this. Would you like to stick around with us to do a Patreon with us?
Absolutely. I feel like the wheels are just coming off this train.
Yeah, they are, man. You can curse on the next part.
So if you're a patron, hey, you're gonna hear us in, you know. Probably you'll hear the patron episode before this episode.
You're going to hear it's a weird, 3D, man.
It's weird time warp. And if you're not a patron, become a patron, because we've got a pretty good episode. Not that they're not all good, because they're all awesome. But I got some startup draft strategy for you. And we got a patron trade. A new listener of ours, or a new patron, I should say, wanted to ask us about some questions. Oh, and I'm just looking at this trade, and it involves Nick Chubb, but he made this before today.
Awesome. So, yeah, so go check out our Twitter handle, at Dynasty Trades HQ, and send us any emails if you want to, at DynastyTradesHQPod@gmail.com. Check out our website, DynastyFootballFactory.com. Jeremy's doing a little dance while I'm wrapping up. Check out iTunes, give us a rate and review. And listen, we love you guys. Thanks for coming, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Deuces.
Bye.
You're so sorry.
What is it? There always has to be this long pause. Bye.